All right, and we're live. We're live. Thanks, everybody, for jumping in. Always appreciate the love we get from this show. Again, you're on with Jay Rich, myself. Sleepy Jay's on with me. We'll get Pat Donovan, of course, here in a second. But first, let me bring in my man, Sleepy Jay. Sleepy, what is up, man?
What's going on, Jay Rich? How you doing, man?
I'm pumped. I like this card. Looking through last week's card, wasn't the sexiest, let's say. It wasn't the most entertaining that we've seen throughout the weeks. A little bit of a down week as far as the matchups go. But I like this card. I like this matchup. So I'm excited about this one, man. It looks like we got Pat. Let me bring in Pat Donovan of SportsBoss.com. Pat, what's up, man?
Hey, Jay Rich. What's up, bro?
Man, excited to have the gang back together, man. Talk some college football, man. So this is cool. So, Pat, we're talking off air with Sleepy. We're going to go through the Thursday and Friday games. I was just seeing which ones he was interested in. Not sure if you like some of the smaller matchups, Pat. So let's jump right into Thursday, where we got North Carolina, Pittsburgh, Western Michigan, and Eastern Michigan, and Buffalo, Miami, Ohio there, Pat. So I don't know if any of those you'd like. Let's talk North Carolina, Pittsburgh first, because that's at least the bigger schools. If you guys like some of the other matchups, you guys can let me know. We're looking at North Carolina, Pittsburgh right now. Looking about three threes painted across the board for North Carolina there, Pat. Let's go to you first. Pittsburgh, haven't had too much, heard too much about them this year. Any interest there in Pitt catching a three at home, Pat?
Yeah, I definitely like Pitt in this spot. Pitt has been rated very high in my model all year. And some of the other rating services are coming around to it, starting to decrease the gap between where I have teams rated and where they do. But, yeah, I have Pitt rated as the 14th best team in the country. And I got them at about a 6-point favorite against about 5.5, 6-point favorite against North Carolina on a neutral field. So throw this game in at Pitt. I'm a big fan of Pitt. I think this is a great spot for them. The loss of James Conner hasn't really hurt him as much as people expected. And at home, I definitely expect a nice effort out of the Panthers.
And that's what I'm talking about. For you guys listening live, man, this is really important because you hear a lot of noise out there, but when I want to get somebody just get down to the numbers. So ratings-wise, Pat has them higher than most people there. Might give you a little bump if you guys are already capping out that game. Little something interest of note. Sleepy, what about yourself, man? Any interest in this game at all? North Carolina there, laying three on the road.
I had a little bit of an interest in the North Carolina-Pittsburgh game. I was actually a little surprised to see North Carolina favorite on the road here. The interest that I actually found was, you know, due to, you know, a lot of the weather issues that are going on the East Coast. I know Pat's probably experiencing some crappy weather, but if you check the weather for tomorrow, pretty much those first three games that you touched on, Pittsburgh, Eastern Michigan, Miami of Ohio, you'll probably end up with a lot of wind, perhaps some rain, but it looks like it's going to be a real windy day, really through that Ohio Valley and the East Coast. That North Carolina total, that's why I kind of like that game, is up to around 55, 55.5 at most spots. I think that line's probably going to come down. I see some value in that under in that game. As far as the other two games, I don't really have much of an opinion, but just, you know, caution for the bettors out there who are following along here. Please take note of the weather tomorrow. It's going to be real windy. I mean, they're calling for like 25-mile-an-hour, 30-mile-an-hour gusts tomorrow all throughout that area. And I noticed that some of those lines have actually dropped down. The Eastern Michigan lines all the way down to 64.5. Miami of Ohio lines down to 50. And the Pittsburgh one has actually gone up. So I think you'll probably see that one max out right around 55.5 where it's at now. So I find some value in that in that under, and basically I'm just looking at the number there for that wager.
Nice. Well, we'll do, man. You just heard Ben Sleepy even say that he's surprised that North Carolina is favorite on the road there. We'll go down to a West Virginia TCU game and the Oregon-Arizona State game. Fellas, if you guys have any interest in the other three games, you guys can let me know when we finish those. Sleepy, let's stick to you. You talked about the Oregon-Arizona State 113, that you like this matchup. Arizona State here laying about 2.5 off at home, Oregon coming in off a couple of losses, down a little bit in the public's eye also. So I'm very interested to get your guys' opinion on this game. Arizona State coming in, feeling a little bit good. What do you think about this one, Sleepy? 2.5 only. Small number. Interested, not the threes are out there. So that tells me a little something. But what do you say here, Sleepy?
Well, I made a wager on Arizona State on the money line as soon as this line came out. I was hoping it would drop down, you know, maybe to like one somewhere around that area. But it's pretty much stayed around 2.5, and I was afraid maybe it'd go to 3 just because of the way Oregon looked against Washington last week. Washington was without their start quarterback. They had another kid come in. And Washington, you know, it's never an easy next game after you play a physical team, a team like Washington, very physical on defense. I think Oregon's going to struggle going into Arizona State. Arizona State, not the easiest of places to play. I think Oregon, you know, is coming around a little bit. You know, their quarterback's back. But, again, I just think this is a real tough spot for them to go into Arizona State after beating Washington. I think they might be a little too high. I'm not sold in the Oregon defense at all. I think Arizona State could slow them down in the rushing department, and that's really, you know, Oregon's strong spot. But I like Arizona State, but I decided to go ahead and play them on the money line. Got that around 140.
Nice. Okay, there we go. How about you, Pat?
I don't really have too much on these games. I think the numbers are just about where I have them. I have Oregon and Arizona State as about the same type of team. I think they're rated within about a half point of each other, so the number seems right on. The Louisville-Wake game on Friday night, same thing. I got Louisville by about 15 on a neutral field, so give them about 3, 3.5 for home field, and that's where we stand now at like 11.5. The West Virginia-TCU game is interesting because West Virginia is another one of those teams that has done well in my model this year. But they haven't done well when they started to play better teams, and they are dropping in my numbers. They were in like the top 10 for a little while, but
I mean,
now
I was just about to say, Pat, I was just about to say, I think you had them 9. I'm going back to the last top 10, maybe 2-3 weeks ago. They're in the top 10. Yeah, you beat me to it.
Yeah, now they're sitting at 20th, and I think it's a little bit of I think it's a phenomenon where they kind of rolled up on decent teams early. They didn't play anybody great, but they also didn't play anybody bad, so their SOS wasn't getting killed and they were handling those teams. But now that they're taking a step up and playing some of these better teams, you know, we saw them get crushed against Oklahoma. But the one thing to keep in mind with West Virginia is turnovers is a huge issue for them. And that's really impacting a lot of the scores that we're seeing when they're getting hammered lately. You know, if they can take care of the football, they have a chance in this game. Probably not to win straight up, but keep in mind, since these teams have been in the Big 12 together, TCU won, the road team has won all three games, and the first time they met, TCU won by 1 point in overtime. Second time, West Virginia won by a field goal in overtime, and last year was that wild game where TCU won by 1 point late. So West Virginia is playing decent defense against this TCU offense in the past. It's the same coaching staffs, so there's no reason to believe that cannot continue. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens. Because you just look at the last three games, West Virginia's given up 44, 33, and 62. But if you look at the turnover margin there, that's also not looking too good. So I think that number is – it's a touch high mathematically for me, but I don't know if there's enough supporting situations and evidence otherwise to just play that number based purely on some line value.
Right. All right. Let's go to Sleepy. And Pat's talking about hitting on two different things there, line value versus situational. Is it really the right spot to go ahead and play it regardless of the value there? Sleepy, how do you see it playing out? I know West Virginia, TCU, Baylor, these are teams that we look at as far as the over is concerned. So I'm interested in your thoughts on the total also, looking about there's a 74.5 with Greek, but mostly 75s out there. Sleepy, I see a 76 also. What do you think about the total, if not the matchup?
Well, the one concern I had in that game was actually for TCU. You know, Pat just touched on it with the schedule for West Virginia. You know, they played some better teams when I looked at the schedule, and I said, you know, I don't think this is going to be a drop-down in class for West Virginia. And he touched on the turnovers. A lot of times, you know, the scoreboard wasn't really, you know, telling the whole story. But I think TCU has actually played the softer schedule, so I think it's actually going to be a step up for them in this game. Now, both teams have had a week to go ahead and prepare for this, you know, for this game here. You know, I looked at TCU. You know, I don't see many playmakers on that team, aside from, you know, obviously Boykin and their wide receiver Doxson, and they have their bell cow in the backfield. So it's really like a three-man team, and they could beat you with three guys. They really can. And it's pretty much the same thing for West Virginia. They don't really have, you know, a whole slew of guys to beat you with. So I, when you asked about the total, I actually had a lean to the under. I think the extra week of prep can go ahead, get enough game tape. I mean, what are we in now, a sixth, seventh week of football all around? And I think, you know, they can key on those real big playmakers, find out what the tendencies are, and maybe even slow those guys down. Now, I'm not really particularly high on either team's defense, but I think with the prep time and actually, you know, I still think those, you know, they're rather limited with the playmakers that they use. It seems like they really use them in bulk. Smallwood from West Virginia, I know he was banged up. He should be back and be okay. So that shouldn't throw too much of a wrench into the whole, you know, game plan there for TCU's defense. But I kind of like the under in that one. And I agree with Pat. I think West Virginia, you know, at 14 seems a bit high. I'll probably end up on West Virginia, and I'll probably end up on the under. I'm just not sold on TCU as of yet. I mean, they had a couple near, you know, near disasters if you looked at who they played. I think Texas Tech might have been the one game, and I know Kansas State was another real tough one for them. And, you know, they won the game in the last play. I think it was Boykin and Doxson or something like that. And, you know, they seem to just be escaping disaster right now. And, again, you know, like Pat said, you know, these teams coming in here on the road have won. So I wouldn't rule out West Virginia keeping it within the number. I think asking them to win is a bit of a stretch. Obviously, Boykin's playing out of his mind. But I like the under more than anything in that game.
Wow, interesting to hear that. TCU has Oklahoma State coming up next week. West Virginia going to, or has Texas Tech coming to town, just to give you guys a little insight there. Sleepy, before we move on, let's put a Friday there. Sleep, I know you have some thoughts on Louisiana Tech Rice, but let's get Pat talked about it a little bit. So let's get your thoughts on it. Louisville, going to Wake Forest there. Looks like they're laying about 11.5, some 12s out there. Sleep, pretty low total of 42. Any thoughts on this one, Louisville, Wake Forest?
Yeah, I looked at that Louisville Wake Forest game, and the only thing I can come up with was to just play Louisville. Just go ahead and lay the number. It's over 11.5 now, so if you missed it, you might want to wait. It might come back down. You might get some sharp money on the home dog here. But I just don't see how Wake Forest is going to score a ton of points in this game. I don't think they have the offense to score on a mediocre defense, let alone a team like Louisville. I think that total is low for a reason. I think it's really low because I just don't see Wake Forest putting up. You know, I'd be surprised if they crack 17 points in that game. I think Louisville hit the 20 mark. But I got that one somewhere, one of those 23-6 games, but just a real ugly game. I do like Louisville. Not very, very strong on that one, though, but I'm curious to see what Pat thinks about that one.
Yeah, go ahead, Pat. You mentioned it. I didn't know if you had some more thoughts on it also.
No, I mean, I think the number is where it needs to be. I just, you know, last week I probably got lucky, but I took BC against Louisville. BC is another team that's kind of rating out better than Vegas has in my model. Like, for instance, I have BC one slot ahead of North Carolina, two slots ahead of UCLA. So they're the comparables in my model. And, you know, I see... I don't know if you can trust Louisville to score any points. I mean, BC has a solid D, but, you know, they only scored 17 points, and I think it was pretty – it was like 14-0, like, in the first quarter, I think, and I think the final was 17-14. So I'm not sure, even against a not-great Wake D, that you can trust Louisville to score enough in that game. And, yeah, I totally agree that Wake Forest does not have the offense, but keep in mind some of the games this year – they were without their quarterback, that Wofford kid. They had the backup in there who was a true, and he didn't play very well. So, you know, to me, there's no way I would lay points with Louisville on the road. I just don't see them scoring consistently enough. But I don't know if there's enough points there for me to take, especially since I had Wake last week and I lost on them too.
All right, fair enough. Again, coming up next after we finish the Friday games here, we're going to get Pat Donovan's top 10, man. That was a good segment there last show. So we'll get that. Sleep, let's jump to the Louisiana Tech Rice. I love the La Tech team. I always have not seen or heard too much from them this year. So I'm interested what you have coming into this Rice game. They're going to Rice, laying a big number here. 13's out there pretty much. a rogue 12.5 at Greek. I'm seeing now. Sleepy, what do you think about this La Tech team coming in thrice?
Well, I think it's definitely in double digits on the road, you know, regardless of the fact, unless you're, you know, really an elite team, and I don't really consider Louisiana Tech that. The wager I actually liked in this was probably a couple of days ago, was actually the over, and that number was around 64 at the time. This number's dropped down all the way to 61.5. I'm guessing that there might be something in there that I may have missed. I didn't personally make the wager as of yet. That was the direction I was really looking in, was towards the over. The line move, obviously, you know, occasionally it'll scare me a little bit to go ahead and take a deeper look. So I'm going to have to do that for that game. As far as the side, I don't really have much of an opinion, but I was on the over at 64, and it appears that, you know, there's a lot of money coming in here on this under, and I'm damn sure that that's not public money coming in on the under there. So there obviously must be something that I missed, or potentially maybe there's a setup to go ahead and get this down as low as possible. I'm going to do some further investigating on that game, but that was my initial lean, was to the over. Maybe there's some severe weather going on down there that I don't know about that I missed, but I'm going to have to dig into that one a little more.
You know, I was just about to ask you, perhaps it's weather, but, hey, Sleepy, perhaps it's sometime you're on the right side. I know we be talking about this a lot of time, where the money's going, where the quote-unquote sharp guys might be pulling the line towards, and, hell, sometimes they're just wrong, and your first analysis was correct, man. So interesting there, Sleepy's first look was over there. Be interesting. If it keeps going down lower, but according to Sleepy, may see some value there. Pat, let's get your thoughts, either the Louisiana Tech Rice game or lastly for the Friday slate. Lastly, then we'll close up the Thursday and Friday games. Wyoming, Utah State. Wyoming's also just a team I like following just because they're scrappy. They tend to hang in there. I'd be interested if you have any thoughts on the Utah State, only because it's a monstrous number. I'm not sure how Wyoming has been playing over the weeks. I know they did cover a big number there, maybe week two, week three. But now we're looking at 28. Am I seeing that correct? 28 out there now, Utah State at home. That's just a surprising number. So maybe there's something I missed, some kind of injury. Wyoming, usually a team that could cover a big number like that, Pat.
Yeah, I don't really get involved with kind of like what I say with the NFL, where I kind of leave out like the two or three worst teams and the two or three best teams and try to focus on the rest of the bunch. Kind of the same in college football, but, you know, just using bigger numbers, where not so much staying away from the good teams in college football, staying away from them when they're playing a bad team, laying a big number, yes. But I can't back any of these bad teams in college football, because sometimes these games just get rolling downhill and it turns into a disaster. I got Wyoming ranked 108th in the country, and I got Utah State at 40th. I think the number might be a touch high, but there's no chance in hell I would put some money on Wyoming to do anything for me, especially considering they're already 5-3 against the spread and they're a shitty team.
Jesus Christ, yeah, man, they're awful, man. They won in about 7, I believe it was the Eastern Michigan State number, if I'm looking at their schedule now. That was a bigger number. I think it was like 27 something they may have covered, but Jesus, yes, only one win against Nevada. 20-point loss to Boise at Boise last game there. All right, Sleep, let's move on, man. Let's move on. And what we're going to do here, we're going to hit the Saturday games there. We got about 9 or 10 games for your listeners out there we're going to cover. But first, man, Pat, I want to get your top 10. Again, you correct me if I'm wrong. I believe this was last year. This was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I take poor notes, and my penmanship is awful. So correct me if I did get this wrong. I want to get Pat. It's about 2 or 3 weeks ago, Pat's top 10. Obviously, it's going to change. I had Alabama, Stanford, Clemson, Iowa, Georgia, Notre Dame, Florida, Boise, West Virginia, Arkansas. So let's see how that has shaken up after a couple of weeks, Pat. What we got now?
Yeah, I'll go down to 12 because that's where there's a good place to cut off. In my top 12, there's only one team in there that's lost more than one game, actually. And remember, I don't make any adjustments based on, you know, teams' records or anything. It's just statistical information, and this is where the teams stand. So at 12, I got Ohio State, kind of similar to last year, where they were kind of hanging around in the 20s for a while, and then they really started to peak at the end of the year and just climbed all the way up. And that seems to be happening again this year. TCU, number 11. A lot of people are interested in them. They're basically in everybody's top five. I got them a touch below that. I think as Sleepy pointed out, you know, they've had their share of struggles, to be clear. Number 10, I have Georgia, which is kind of surprising to me. They're the only team that has more than one loss. And the interesting thing is it's not even so much an SOS adjustment, strength of schedule adjustment, that's really given them the boost, because they've only played the 54th toughest schedule in the country, which is easier schedule than everybody that's ahead of them. It's really that they're performing well, especially on defense. So coming up this weekend, they got a big game against number 8 in my countdown, Florida. But before we get to Florida, number 9 is Utah.
Yeah.
I still have them in there, but
wow.
You know, their strength of schedule adjustment is pretty large. It's the second largest in the top 10, only behind number 2 Alabama. So they're getting boosted by, you know, playing USC and playing Michigan. Teams like that.
Yeah, Pat. Let me ask you, because they were not in the top 10. They were undefeated a couple of weeks ago. So perhaps because of they played some better teams in the recent weeks has also boosted them into the top 10, even with the loss, given the fact that they were not in the top 10 before without a loss.
Right. So 2 weeks ago they were ranked 35th on pure numbers, and then when I adjusted for strength of schedule. They checked in at 19th, and this week they're ranked 33rd on pure numbers, so they only improved 2 spots there, but their strength of schedule boosted them up further, so they're now ranked 9th. So, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand where they were able to continue to perform at the same level in my model, even though they played tougher opponents over the last couple weeks. Their performance level. So that's why they climbed up some. As mentioned before, number 8 is Florida. You know, both Florida and Georgia have good defenses. They both have pretty bad offenses. Amongst the worst offenses in the top, like, 20 in my ratings. So it'll be interesting to see how that game shakes out. Usually craziness occurs in that game. Turnovers often play a huge part. You don't know where you're going to get out of the quarterbacks from either team. I don't know which one I trust more. I probably won't be on that game. You know, I have the game at about a pick, so it's interesting because I think Florida's favored by 3, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere in that range. So, I mean, it might be a touch too many points, but I don't think I'm going to be on that game at the end of the day. Number 7 is Notre Dame. They're ranked 9th across the board in the 4 other sources that I compare my data to. So, you know, it's kind of still in Notre Dame's hands to make a run. And they have a solid offense and a weaker defense. They have the weakest defense in my top 15, actually, which is interesting. Number 6 is LSU. Pretty balanced. Their offense actually ranks out 13th. Because they're not putting up big numbers in the passing game, but it's been pretty efficient, and they've been running the ball all over everybody. So having them 6th is kind of in the middle of where everybody else has them. Number 5 is Stanford. You know, they've been playing some good ball of late, as everybody knows. Again, they're kind of right in the spot where most people have them. I might have them a touch high. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with Stanford if they wind up running the table but have that opening week loss to Northwestern on their resume. You know, how does that loss really stack up to Ohio State losing to Virginia Tech last year at home? I mean, you got to think about that when it comes down to it. If Stanford does run the table, did they play a better schedule and did they lose to a better opponent on the road than Ohio State did last year? And Ohio State didn't have their starting quarterback going into the playoffs and they still got in? So that's going to be an argument to be had, and people might be sleeping a little bit on Stanford. But I think if they run the table and win the Pac-12, I think they have a decent shot, actually, at getting in. Number 4 is Oklahoma. They're another team that's been climbing a lot lately. Sagarin has them at 4th. FBI, ESPN's FBI has them at 2. The rankings have them in the mid-teens. But, you know, as we talked about this summer, the Big 12 is going to be decided in November. It's all in front of them. Oklahoma, it's all in front of Oklahoma State, TCU, Baylor, whoever comes out of that round robin on top, as long as they can just come out of it with one loss, you know, has a great shot at being in the playoff. We'll probably get in if somebody can get through it with only one loss, and keep in mind Oklahoma already has one loss. Number 3, this is the surprise team, is Iowa.
Yeah, they were high last time, yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't mean I think Iowa's the third best team. Again, just statistically, right now, they're playing as the third best team. So you can take that information, you know, a few different ways. Do you want to play on them, or do you see them ranked third, and you know they got to start playing worse than that because they're not that good, and that they'll start dropping, so you start fading them. You know, there's different angles to take with this data. Number two is Alabama. Again, just a pretty bad offense, but the fourth best defense. Pretty much, Sagarin and myself have Alabama, and number one, I have Clemson. Sagarin just has those two flip-flopped. So I got Clemson at the top. I have them as the best team on a raw performance basis, and they played the 27th toughest schedule, and it all works out to being the top-rated team. So right now, my model would have them favored by Alabama by about 1.5 on a neutral field. We know that would never be the line because Alabama would take too much money on. If they did play, I think Alabama would probably be between like a 4 and 6 point favorite. So I would see some value on Clemson if that did wind up playing out like that.
And Pat, you just said it, and Sleepy, I want to get your thoughts on a couple of these teams that were the top 10. What I love this, but Pat just mentioned it, and I just want to say it again. He's not saying these teams are where they are, it's where the numbers are. And this is why I like this, Pat, because the numbers tell a different story as opposed to watching the games. We get our bias thrown in there, and the numbers tell a different story. It doesn't mean it's correct, but it's a damn good deductive logic way of looking at it. Let me go through it again here. Ohio State, TCU, Georgia, Utah, Florida, Notre Dame, LSU, Stanford, Oklahoma, Iowa, Alabama, Clemson. A couple of only things that dropped out of there, Pat, was Boise, the teams that are kind of were at the end a couple of weeks ago. Boise, West Virginia, and Arkansas were the only teams that dropped on. Sleepy, let me get your thoughts on it, because there's three teams that I'm interested in based on what we talked about at the beginning of the season, and that is Stanford, Florida, and Utah. Utah was a team we've always talked about, Sleepy, but Florida was a team I want to say we weren't sure about. Let's put it that way. They climbed in, and also Stanford was a team we were not sure about, Sleepy. So what do you think about them as far as the numbers concerned? Stanford number 5 and Florida number 8. Just to get your thoughts on there, Sleepy, because you've been waiting for a while. What's your thoughts on those teams or wherever else you have thoughts on?
Well, on those two teams in general, I really don't have much stuff. But there are actually three teams that I spoke about that just makes complete sense. Ohio State, first one. You know, he's going off of basic statistical, you know, math there and stuff like that that he gathers up. And we know that Barrett hasn't been with that team for, you know, the whole season. You know, he touched on it last year. You know, they were down in, you know, in the numbers. And then as the season started to wear on, especially towards the end, the team really just blew up the rankings. And, you know, that's one team that I did not expect to be in the national championship game. I was against them, and I was 100% absolutely wrong. But I think with Barrett coming back, I'm pretty sure Pat actually anticipates Ohio State probably flying up the rankings. You know, Oklahoma, you know, talk about blowing your season against a team like Texas. I watched Oklahoma probably 3 or 4 games this year, and that team's pretty good, man. I mean, their running back situation is very good. Their wide receiver situation, obviously, their quarterback, their defense is good. It sucks that they lost the game because I think they'd actually make some noise overall. And the other team that he touched on was Iowa. You know, I anticipate them to probably fall slightly, and basically due to their running back situation with the big running back, Angieri, going out. He was really, you know, he was a fantastic player. I just think that loss of him is going to hurt them, and they'll probably slide down. Eventually, I think they'll end up switching spots with Ohio State, according to Pat's rankings. You know, when it comes to Florida and Stanford, I can't take anything away from them. I was really against Stanford in the beginning of the year. I'm just not happy with them. And more than anything, it's, you know, I can't pick the right side of them. I can't pick the right total. I can't say anything bad about them. But, you know, going to Florida, you know, if you were going to talk about the Florida game that, you know, we were touching on briefly, you know, going up against Georgia, you know, I don't know, you know, how good Georgia's going to be. You know, they're coming off of 2 losses prior to their last win last week versus Missouri. They didn't look too good. And this game is not going to be in the swamp. It will be in Jacksonville. I kind of have a slight lean here towards Florida. I don't want to lay the 2.5 or the 3. I think the money line's really the only way to go. Georgia without
Let me bring that in. We're gonna go right into those games. So I'm gonna go right back to you right here. Just let me set it up for the audience. We're going to go right to the three TV games that I picked out. So if you guys don't like them, you guys can get mad at the audience. These are three games that we're going to talk about here. USC, Cal, Georgia, Florida, Notre Dame, Temple. Just some of the games that I've heard the national media talking about here, Sleepy. So let's go right to your game. You just mentioned it. Georgia going to Florida. I saw mostly open, mostly 2.5. There are some three. This game, and I can go through each and every game on the slate, but this game has the oddest line variance. You know, there's mostly 2.5. There's some threes. There's some rogue 1.5 out there. And I don't mean 1.5 with juice, just straight up 1.5. So very odd numbers out there. These games are all over the place. So depending on what side you like, you should be able to get the correct line values if you're shopping around, if you have as many outs as you should. So, Sleepy, let's go right back to you, man. Florida favorite here, anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5. Let me set you up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's why I would probably go ahead and jump on the money line there, because you have the opportunity to shop around for the best number. It's not like it's painted across the board. But, again, I think with the chub out for Georgia, I think that's going to really hurt them. I didn't like what I saw in their last game versus Missouri. Obviously, Florida, we know that with the quarterback situation, but I think they can be okay on the defensive side of the ball and the offense. I just have a gut feeling, you know, that game's not going to be in Gainesville. It's going to be real tough for both teams to really squeak out a win. That's why I'm on the money line, but I favor Florida. I just think that they're a better team right now. So that's the direction I went in that game. I took Florida on the money line there. I didn't actually take it yet, but I'm looking to go ahead and probably jump on that one. I'd like to get it maybe around 125.
And Pat, let me get your thoughts on this one, too. And I'm going to try and clear up Sleepy's phone line there. You're breaking up a little bit, Sleepy. I'm going to put you in the chat room right now. Pat, go ahead and give your thoughts on this one. Georgia, go to Florida here, mostly painted 2.5, occasional rogue 3 or 1. If you like one of the other numbers over the other, let us know as far as that's concerned also.
Yeah, I just can't see myself being on this game. There's just too many unknowns for me, and it always seems to be a weird game when these two teams play. You know, when I look at my rankings, like I said, I got Florida 8, Georgia 10. I mean, that's not even worth half point. I mean, that's basically saying they're even. But when I look at it, you know, Georgia has played better than Florida. It's just Florida's getting a much higher multiple on their SOS, which is boosting their rating. So, you know, that kind of, you know, that offsets the edge to me somewhat. And then, you know, you have to think of Chubb being out. Then you think of the Florida quarterback is out. Then you think of the line just sitting under 3, like wanting people to bet Florida. But, you know, there's no way I'm going to trust Grayson Lambert with my money, the Georgia quarterback. So I think there's way better options on the board this week. I would probably lean towards – I don't even have a lean on this game. I really could see it going absolutely either way. Both teams have great run defenses, like very top-notch, top like 10% over the last 10 seasons as of right now. So, again, it could come down to quarterback play, and I just don't know which guy I trust more. It's just too unknown for me.
Okay, Pat, let's stick with you. We're going to go to UC Cal, and then we're going to hit Notre Dame Temple here. Pat, we'll start with the USC-California game, 153 here on the rotation. Opened as low as 5.5 there. Now we're seeing mostly 3.5, 4s, gone up to 6. So I think right now pretty much 6 is the number now there, Pat. What do you think about this matchup? UC going to Cal. Man, Cal's a team we heard a lot of in the waning weeks. I wonder if they dropped some in your ratings because they're losing more games or just not being talked about as much as in the previous weeks.
Yeah, I just think this is another tough game to decipher when I'm looking at this. The one thing I will say is, to me, Cal has a big edge in the number here because I got this as about Cal as a 2-point favorite, but we're seeing USC as about, you know, a 6.5-point favorite, and those are the times I really like to act on my model, you know, especially when we're talking big conference teams and we're talking you know, teams that, you know, are fairly, I want to say even, but, you know, we're not talking about nobody's like bottom of the barrel. And you know, and I have the other team favored. That usually is a very good thing.
Let me ask you, are these, because I'm going to ask this question because I think people wouldn't think this is the truth. Are these teams two even teams? Are Cal and USC right there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because I got Cal ranked 22nd and USC ranked 13th. So that's about a 2-point difference for me. And then that 2-point difference flips towards Cal, give him about 4 for home field, since it's a, you know, a quote-unquote rivalry game. You know, when you look at USC, they're coming off that huge win last week. Cal is coming off back-to-back tough road losses, but against decent teams. It's just so hard to get a feel for Cal, especially that defense. I mean, they gave up like 700 yards to Texas, which is never good. You know, USC beat Arizona State 42-14, but they were almost outgained in the game, so it wasn't very impressive. But then you look at Cal, and, you know, they played one home game so far against anybody decent since playing San Diego State, I guess, in week 2, and that was Washington State. They beat them by 6. Now, Washington State's probably not as bad as they have been in past years, but the numbers aren't really adding up for me. I just think the line is too high, and I would definitely lean towards Cal on this one, especially with USC coming off the big win last week. But, you know, I don't know if I'm going to play it, but that would definitely be the way I would lean.
Hey, listen, man, I've had no qualms about telling you guys, listen, man, I listen to Pat and Sleepy on their plays here. So when I hear Pat says he has some difference in the line, I write it down, just wrote it down on my notes. Doesn't mean to play it, I'm just saying I write down what these guys say. They know what the hell they're talking about. Sleepy, let's go to you, man. USC Cal, your thoughts on this game, 153.
Well, you know how I feel about Goff. He's probably one of my most hated quarterbacks in all of college football. And I decided to go ahead and use him last week in the UCLA game, and he ended up being a dud for me. I actually didn't take Cal. I actually had the over in the game. But he turned out to be a dud in that game. I don't know where people think he's going to be the number one quarterback, because I think there's 3 or 4 other guys that are definitely better than him. As far as USC is concerned, you know, you got to take into consideration, you know, that they have, you know, that they just beat Utah, and then they got Arizona on deck at home. Could they slip up versus a team like Cal? I think it's possible. You know, I for me, it's more of USC's more of a guessing type of thing now. They get rid of the coach. They played Notre Dame tough. You know, they beat Utah. Now they got to go on the road, you know, or actually, yeah, they got to go on the road here versus Cal. So I don't know where to sit with this one. You know, I would probably rather just either take somebody else's recommendation on this one and go and hope that they don't want to back off, because I can't stand putting my money on that kid. I never win with him. He always turns out to be a lame duck for me every time I put money on him or depend on him to get points. So for me in that game, I'm clearly off of it. USC is a team that I probably won't put money on or against, just because I don't know what to do with them. I mean, they're up and they're down, and it seems like Cal right now is starting to fall into that same scenario. So for me, it kind of threw me off the game, but you know, whatever the case may be, looked off. I can't stand messing with that kid.
All right, fair enough. Let's stick with you, man. We got Notre Dame and Temple, man. Straight up this line, not too much movement here. It's just sticking at it. 10.5 pretty much is what I'm seeing across the board here. Game number 155 there, Sleep. I'm sure you're going to have thoughts on this one way or the other. Let me get to the total really quick. Total looking at about 49.5. A couple of 49s all out there also. Sleepy, your thoughts on this matchup?
Well, my first thought was probably just sitting where the line goes, which is probably going to end up going up. So if you like Temple, you probably want to wait on that. I imagine this line will probably go to 11.5, maybe even possibly as high as 12. And Temple's not a bad team. I mean, obviously, they've played very well all year. They're at home here. Notre Dame, Pat was just talking about their defense, you know, hasn't really been top-notch. But that offense, you know, they can put a bunch of points up. They put 41 points up on USC. So you can only imagine what they could do here to Temple. But more than anything, it would be more of a wait-and-see type of thing. I'm probably going to be off this game. If I had to put my money down, it would probably be on Temple, but I would wait until it got over at least the 10.5 mark, maybe 11.5. If it gets to 11.5, I might take a small jump at Temple. But I don't really have a big opinion on that game.
All right, and I got 2 questions for you, Pat, there. One, I want to know if at all your thoughts on the intangible stuff, the stuff that's not in the numbers. Does the fact that this is a national ABC ESPN is going to blow this game out there at Temple? This is the first time I remember a big game going to Temple. I'm pretty sure it's happened before. But being here at Fresno State, I remember occasionally when us in Boise would get somewhere near the top 20-ish, where ESPN would talk about coming out if everything laid out. So, one, I have a question if that matters. And, two, I'm going to quickly go through the Temple schedule, and you tell me who was their best matchup. I'm going to assume it's going to be Penn State. It'll be Penn State, Cincinnati, UMass, Charlotte, Tulane, UCF, East Carolina. Any of those big teams good besides Penn State? So those two questions for you, Pat.
I don't think you make too much of a big deal about, you know, this situation. I mean, it's a big deal in Philly, no question about it. But, you know, this is Notre Dame rolling in. I mean, they've been involved in tons of big games already this year that are bigger than this game. So just because it's a big game for Temple, you know, they might be buzzing around early. But, I mean, we see that every week. There's big games across the country every week. This is no bigger. Plus, half the place is going to be rooting for Notre Dame. I mean, it's a sellout, but don't be fooled. I mean, the Penn State game was a sellout, too, and I think there was more Penn State fans there than Temple. And you're going to get the same thing. I mean, Notre Dame is a national team. It's not like there's going to be 80,000 Temple maniacs in the stands pulling for the team. So, no, I mean, I usually use about 3.5 for home field. I might give them 4, but that would be about it. And then, no, as far as your other point, that's my problem with Temple. I mean, they haven't played anybody. That's why I have them pretty low in my ratings, which is interesting because I have them around – where are they? Yeah, I mean, I got them at 41st, and I have them playing the 108th schedule in the country. There's only 128 teams. And they put up an offense ranked 71st before adjusting for strength of schedule. So it's 71st against the 108th toughest schedule. So their offense isn't very good. That all being said, is a weird game because my numbers, I actually disagree with Sleepy. I think this number is definitely going to come down as we get closer to game time. I think there's going to be a lot of sharp money coming in on Temple late. I got this number at like 4.5. And I mean, like I just said, I have Temple ranked 40th in the country and I have Notre Dame ranked 7th. And that works out to about 4.5 with 4 points home field. So I think the number is too high. But you know, from just the eye test, I've watched a decent amount of Temple. I just don't see it. You know, we've kind of seen what Penn State is. I mean, Jesus, they almost lost to Maryland last week. They've had a couple really bad showings. So they're not anywhere good. I mean, here's Penn State. I think Penn State ranked 61st. So that's about a mid-pack team. I mean, they're ranked behind Rutgers. So, you know, that all being said, I'm not going to be on this game either way. But I do think the number comes down. So I would say if you're going to bet Temple, disagreeing with Sleepy, I would think you'd want to take the 10.5 now because I think that comes down closer to a TD by kickoff.
Okay, but Pat, is that one of the things, too, where, again, your number is saying maybe there's some value here with Temple, but based on what you're seeing, this is not maybe not the best time or the best spot to take them. Do I have that accurate?
Yeah, what's interesting, too, when you look at this, because, you know, I always like to use probability theory, I call it, when you start getting deeper into the season, and you can start looking at teams' ATS records, and you know, that things are going to start to even out somewhat. You know, if you see a team that's 7-0 ATS playing a team that's 0-7, you almost always want to take the 0-7 team, or, you know, all else being equal, because, you know, those things are going to even out. I think we saw it last week with Central Michigan, whoever they played. They played like somebody crappy, but they were like 7-1 ATS going into it. The other team was like 2-6 or something, and then Central Michigan doesn't cover. They wind up winning by like 3 when they were laying like 10. But what's interesting in this game is you have ND is 6-1 ATS, and you have Temple is 5-2. So you don't have that angle to play. That's another reason I would stay off it. If we saw, you know, Notre Dame like, you know, 2-5 against the spread, and we saw Temple 5-2, I would definitely be leaning ND. But, no, I just can't see an edge in this game at all, so I'm just going to pass.
Okay, fair enough. All right, now, for the listeners out there, it's best bet time, man. We got about 6 games here. These guys are going to hit us with the best games. How are we going to go through it, Sleepy and Pat? We'll go through 1 game for each of you guys, and we'll go back and forth instead of one of you guys talking about 3 games. I think that'll be a little more entertaining. And if before you go to your game, if you have thoughts on the previous guy's games, you can talk about that. So, Sleepy Man, we'll go to you first. We got Idaho, New Mexico State coming up, and then Pat next, James Madison, and William & Mary. they're sleepy. So let's start with you, man. Idaho, New Mexico State sleepy. I saw this open up about 3.5, 4. I now see some 5.5, some 6s also out there. Game 195. Sleepy, tell us about this game. Which did you like it? Sleep. Sleepy's got us on mute. Big Sleep. Oh, I see you. I see you, Sleepy. You called me on the different line. My fault. Sleepy, what's going on? I got you, man.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, man. Yeah.
No, that was my fault. That was my fault. I saw you called in.
Yeah, no big deal. As far as the Idaho State, New Mexico, or the Idaho, New Mexico State game, you're not really going to find, you know, probably two worst teams right now. New Mexico State, they have won a game going back to week two of last year. But the big hang-up for me with trying to back a team like Idaho right now is their wide receiver Desmond S. has been suspended from the team for a domestic dispute with his girlfriend. If you know anything about Idaho, you know that Epps is the heart and soul of that team. 40% of the offense goes, you know, it goes through him, regardless of the fact. Their next wide receiver on that team has, I believe, 20 catches on the year now. I mean, you're talking 3 catches. I mean, Epps gets everything. Everything goes through him. Besides that, the running back, Penny, for Idaho, very good. I mean, I actually like the kid. I actually like watching Idaho. I don't know why. I think it was basically just because I liked watching Epps play football. But without him, I can tell you, Idaho's going to struggle. If there was ever a game New Mexico State was actually going to be able to win outright, it's probably this game. The team's 0-7 on the year. They haven't looked all that great, even, you know, these, you know, subpar teams. But I think this is probably a good spot for them. I really think this line's actually being set up here. I liked it at 4.5, and it continues to go ahead and climb. And I don't think that that's sharp money coming in to back Idaho. I think there's bits and pieces coming in on the Vandals here for the sharp guys. Probably going to come back and play New Mexico State, because I just don't see how you can play Idaho without Epps on the field. There's just no way that you could back that team if you know anything about them. He's the heart and soul of that team. So that really put me on New Mexico State. If there's a 6 out there, grab it, because I have a feeling that number is going to go away come closer to kickoff. So I'm definitely on New Mexico State. I think they're actually going to win that game outright, but grabbing an extra point is huge, because you never know. The team's defense isn't all that great, so I really landed hard on New Mexico State, even though it's a crummy game, but you know, it doesn't matter as long as we're cashing tickets.
That's what I'm saying, exactly. And that's why I hit the TV games for those of you guys who like the entertainment value, the games all your buddies are going to be talking about at work or whatnot. But now let's get to the games. Maybe we can make some money there. So we're giving us a good reason with some player update why maybe they take New Mexico. And there are 6s still available out there. Grab the best number as possible. Pat, let's jump to you. We got James Madison going to William & Mary. Again, my pops alma mater. Let's see if they can win some games here. Laying about 4.5 there's Pat, is what I'd see. With a little juice attached to it. You tell me how you like this game shaking out either way, and then we'll go back to you, Sleep.
Yeah, well, I actually got to change my mind on this one in a good
Uh-oh.
Way.
Okay.
Well, this is what happened. I knew the line looked weird, and I loved James Madison when I saw the number. And then I just did a quick peek looking at it, and James Madison's quarterback is done. He's not playing. So that's why the line looked so good, because if he was in there, I mean, that wouldn't be the number. So at least I was on point looking at it the right way, because I've been absolutely hammering FCS this year, especially Villanova's conference, CAA. I mean, I'm taking like 1-2 games a week, and I'm hitting a very high percentage. So I was going to be all over that. Again, bouncing back, looking for James Madison to bounce back after the loss to Virginia last week. Richmond. But, yeah, that'll have to be a pass now since Vadley's not playing, and I definitely don't know enough about backups on James Madison to put my money on it.
Fair enough. Let's do this. Let's go to 123, USF going to Navy. This one here, I got an opening of about – this is another weird – it's been a couple of games here. There's so about 9, 10, or 11 there, Pat. Soft opening now down to, I think I should say, about 7.5, 7.5 now. But an odd opening there of 9, 10, and 11 all over the place. 7.5 now. UCF going to Navy. What's your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, it's USF, right? Or is it UCF?
Oh, sorry. You're correct. You're right.
USF. Yeah. I definitely like USF here. I mean, I got USF as the better team. And if you adjust for SOS, for home field advantage, I got this game at basically a pick, and you're getting double digits, I think you just said.
Right.
So, yeah, that'll be on my high list of breaking this game down and looking at it. While I'm on the fly talking to you, the one thing I'd want to look at is how does South Florida's rush defense stack up? Because, you know, obviously when you're playing Navy, that's what you got to be able to do, stop the run. And it's stout. You know, they're giving up 3.34 yards a carry, 127 yards a game, only 6.7 first downs a game. Yeah, I mean, South Florida's weakness is pass defense. I'm looking at it right now, and they're brutal. Really bad, actually, their pass defense. Where's that QBR number? I want to see. The QBR is about middle, but yeah, yardage numbers aren't good. So I think this is a great matchup for USF, and I think Navy is like only has maybe one loss in the season. So this is definitely a game I like. I'll probably be on USF actually for a premium play with this game. I'm looking now. The line's down to 7.5. I'm seeing, which
yeah.
doesn't surprise me at all. And I think it's down to 7.5, and 60% of the money is on Navy. You know, or 60% of the public, one side I'm looking at, is on Navy.
Right.
So that tells you a lot that, you know, more people think Navy's going to cover, but the line has dropped 2.5 points.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, there's still some 7.5s out there. So, I mean, grab those, get the best number as possible. Man, one book I have had all the way down to 6.5, but that's win. That's win. That's for what it's worth. Wins all the way down to 6.5. Sleepy, let's get your thoughts. I know sometimes you've been talking about the South Florida team. So if you have any thoughts on that one, I'll give you that. Or if not, next game up I got for you is Utah, Oregon State, opening about 21-22 there, Sleepy. Now 24s out there pretty much across the board, 24s. So 173, Utah, Oregon State.
Yeah, it's on the UCF team. I agree with that, USF in that one. Their run defense is very, very good. I mean, even if you see what they did to Dalvin Cook when Florida State came to town, they held him in the check for as much as they could. But, we all know what they do. I mean, they just run. So USF, obviously, it might only take them, you know, one full quarter, maybe a quarter and a half to go ahead and start shutting them down. And Navy's going to have to try to go ahead and pass, but I just don't see how Navy's going to end up doing too much damage in the game. I agree with Pat on that one. As far as the Utah-Oregon State one, I like Utah to bounce back here. I don't particularly like laying this amount of points. So I'm actually going to sit and wait on this one because I think this line will actually come down slightly. I don't have any faith in Oregon State at all. I think that team is bad all around. Now, they've gotten it together probably the last few weeks, and they were due to, you know, the competition that they played. Utah coming off of a big beat down there against USC. I think they're going to come out here and be rather pissed off. I can't see Oregon State in this game cracking, you know, maybe two touchdowns if they're lucky. I think Utah's going to blow them out and beat them up pretty handily. But I'm going to wait until it drops down. I want to get at least under 24 before I actually place my budget. But I just don't see how Oregon State with that passing attack. Last week, their premier running back, Carl Woods, he didn't even barely play. I think he was out there maybe like 5 or 6 plays. They just really look lost. They really look to be trying to find the offense, trying to find the passing game, the running game, and it's not going to really work out too well against a team like Utah, you know, coming off a loss, pissed off. They're going to do everything they can to salvage, you know, at least a good bowl game there, because obviously they're not going to make the playoff. No, at least I don't think so. Even if they win the Pac-12, I just don't think they're going to get awarded somehow to get in there. But I like Utah. I think they beat them up pretty big, but I'm just going to wait for the line to come down. If it doesn't, maybe I'll go ahead and suck it up and play the 24.
All right. So if I'm listening now, I'm out there. I'm working a lot. I don't have a time to track it all the time. What's a good number I should be looking for? You say wait for it to come down. Is that 24 now? Be 23, is that good enough to hit, or am I waiting a little bit longer, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, obviously, if that one comes down under 24, you know, that's,
okay,
you know, your prime opportunity to go ahead and take a better number. But the number I would really be looking for would be 22.5. I think it potentially could come down that low, but that's the number I would really be looking for. And I don't think there's any reason why you can't just wait to see if it comes down. If it goes up to 24.5, then you just skip it. You know, you move on to another game that you possibly like. But I'll wait for that one. 22.5 would be my target number because I don't think it would come down to like as low as 21. But 22.5 would probably be the right number for me.
Fair enough, fair enough. It sounds like we're talking stocks there, looking at put options and when to stop on there. Pat, let's jump to you, man. We got Illinois going to Penn State, man. This is a game I'm actually interested in. 165, opened 6.5 there, but mostly now, another one with odd games. There's a lot of numbers out there, mostly 5, 5.5s. There are some 4.5s out there, so interested to see what side you're going to be on here. Illinois, Penn State, 165. Pat, go ahead.
I definitely feel like Illinois had some value here, especially when you consider the fact Josh Ferguson has been out the last couple weeks for them, and he's one of their biggest playmakers. You know, a team like Illinois isn't stacked with playmakers, and they certainly don't have depth to withstand losing one of their better players. But if he's back in this game, he's missed the last two, and that kind of ruined my little run with Illinois winning the Big Ten West. But, you know, I still think they have a good shot to make some noise this year if Ferguson can get healthy and Lund stays in the lineup. And, I mean, you just look at this Penn State team, what they've done. It hasn't been very impressive at all. You know, they're not very explosive. Their defense is decent against bad teams. But I don't look at Illinois as a bad team. I just think they haven't played well the last couple of weeks. They had no balance in their offense. And even including that they haven't had possibly their best player outside their quarterback the last 2 weeks, I mean, I still have this game at about a pick. So that's why if Ferguson plays, I think this is a nice spot to back Illinois. Especially when you also consider the you know, the way this series has gone of late. Illinois has actually played very well in the series, covering 4 out of the last 5.
Pat, two questions. One, who's the guy we're looking to? So people out there, if you're looking to see if this particular player is coming back, what's his name? And would you still take Illinois in case the particular player is not going to be in the lineup?
His name's Josh Ferguson, and no, I wouldn't bother with it if he's going to be out. I think that's going to be, you know, I'm not a totals guy, but if he doesn't play, even if he does play, but certainly if he doesn't play, I would be leaning on the under in this game because neither one of these teams can do much offensively. That's why, you know, when you're looking at games like this, you're getting more value out of 5.5 when you see a total of 43 than if you see, you know, a 5.5 on a total of 73. So you always got to keep that in mind, too, when you're looking at these games. Every 5.5 isn't created equally.
I like that. I like this. We got a if and or but here. If a player, Ferguson, if he comes, you guys wake up early, make sure you're catching the information there. And if not, maybe you got to play on the under. So we got two different plays based on that analysis there. I like that, Pat. Sleepy, let's jump back to you, man. Any thoughts on that one? Or I know you got North Carolina State going to Clemson. Clemson here laying 10. This is a game that was pretty much even, like the Notre Dame-Temple game, pretty much set. This game's at 10, been at 10, not moving at all. Sleepy, what say you? Game 135.
Well, let's go to the Illinois game, Penn State, because that was one of the games I was going to pick. Illinois was the first game on the board that I saw that I liked, and I like it a 4.5 for my line's gone up. You know, I'm not particularly sold on Penn State, you know, at all, even against a mediocre team there. I mean, they just seem to struggle. Illinois has played pretty good. They lost to Iowa. They lost to Wisconsin. Two running teams. They're pretty much going to get the same game here from Penn State. But I don't put Penn State on the same level playing field as I do with Iowa or with Wisconsin. I think Illinois has a pretty good chance to actually win the game outright. You know, wide receiver Allison's pretty good as a Pat touchdown. Ferguson will be back. They got Vaughn. They got Lund. I think they have some playmakers. And I know Marcy Murdoch. He's one of their receivers that they go to. They like to use him early on there. He's questionable. So there is some less pass and some depth, and there's a lot of youth with that team. But, you know, overall, you know, I think these two teams are really even. Even in Penn State, you know, I would be willing to go ahead and grab that 6 now if you haven't made a wager on that game. I think that's a real strong number for Illinois. As I said, that was the first game I looked at, and I was like, I like Illinois, and that was the first game that came off the board to me. As far as the NC State Clemson one, you know, I've been against Clemson pretty much, you know, the entire year. Clemson and Stanford were two things I was really against. And it's funny, they both blew up the ring. I was absolutely wrong with them. But I think this one has upset special written all over it. I'm going to call for the NC State outright win here at home. But I think that too many points here to lay with Clemson. Clemson obviously coming off of a pretty decent win there. I'm going to take a shot here with the Wolfpack at home grabbing double digits, and I just think that's just too many. I think Clemson are going to come down there. I think that real football team is actually going to show up. I think we're going to see how good they are or how bad they are on the road here. You know, playing a tough team like NC State, who's beaten them in the past. So I do like NC State here, but I'm going to grab the double digits.
Now, Pat, I want to get your thoughts on this one, too, Sleepy. But first, let me say, man, it'll be Clemson's, back-to-back road gigs here, if I have that correct. Yes, they're at Miami. Come off a big number, if I'm looking at intangibles there, a good beatdown against a rival that may be down, may or not, but 58 to nothing. Got their damn coach fired. Finally, Golden's out of there. Again, I listen to a lot of Miami radio, man. It was time for Golden to go. Like the guy, nice guy, did a good job at tempo, but just wasn't the style. But back-to-back road games there for Clemson, Sleepy. So, I mean, that's something I am interested in. You've got North Carolina coming off a beatdown of Wake Forest on the road, now going home before Boston College, two back-to-back road games after this Clemson game. Pat, what's your numbers? If you got anything, I know I'm getting you on the spot. Any stats or numbers you got for this NC Clemson game there as far as where this line should be? You got Clemson at 10. Interested to see if you got any difference there or maybe an opinion on this one, too.
I don't have too much of an opinion on this one. My number is a little lower than it is. I have it at about 8, so not enough to really sway me one way or the other. You know, I saw an interesting stat last week when I was watching that Wake Forest NC State game where – do you know that over the last 3 years, Wake Forest actually has more wins against FBS opponents than NC State does? NC State was like 4-17, and Wake Forest was like 5-16, or something crazy like that. And maybe it was the last 2 years, because those were about the records I saw. So NC State, it's to me, you know, a little overrated.
Is it the schedule, Pat? I'm looking at the schedule now. I'm seeing that first four games, a lot of teams that people have never heard of.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at the teams they've played, and look at the offenses they're facing. I mean, they played Wake last week. Again, I was on Wake, and I lost that game, but, you know, it wasn't the reason I lost necessarily, but, you know, they only missed covering by a TD, and Wake's quarterback wound up getting hurt, like, in the first quarter, and the backup came in, and he stunk. And the game was like 28-0 almost immediately. And then, you know, they played Virginia Tech, who doesn't have a good offense. They played Louisville at home, who definitely doesn't have a good offense on the road. They played South Alabama, Old Dominion, Eastern Kentucky, and Troy. So, I mean,
how about on the flip side, Pat? How about on the flip side? Excuse me. How about on the flip side about Clemson? Because I do it will entertain this. Maybe Clemson a little bit overrated. What do you think about this team? What do you think about the Miami game? I know they did beat Notre Dame. I know that was a close game toss-up. The Georgia Tech win, that's a pretty good win. What do you think about this Clemson team in general before they go to NC State?
I think it's good. I mean, I got them at the top of my rankings. I'm a big fan. I was a big fan coming into the year because I like their quarterback. I'm still not sure that they had the depth defensively to get through the year unscathed, and I think that's what it's going to take coming out of the ACC. I just don't see a one-loss ACC team being in play. you know, when I look at Clemson, to me, they haven't played a bad team yet besides the opener against Wofford. I mean, they played Appalachian State, who I got like as the third best, you know, non-Power 5 team. They played at Louisville, which is a little different than playing Louisville, you know, at home like NC State did. I'm not saying Louisville's great, but they still have a decent defense. They just can't score, and the defense is better when you're playing them in their place. Then they played Notre Dame. Then they played Georgia Tech. Then they played BC. BC, as I mentioned earlier, I think they're a decent team. They have literally no
option. You think they can run the table there? If they can pass NC State here, cover or not, can they run it? They got Florida State, and then it's Syracuse, Wake Forest, and South Carolina. Could this be an undefeated team at the end?
I just don't know if, you know, I'm not even worried about that Florida State game. I'm worried about that at Syracuse game. That's the one that feels tricky to me. They only beat them 16-6 last year in Death Valley. I have a feeling after they come off that Florida State game, there's no bye week. They got to travel up to Syracuse, the Carrier Dome.
Yeah.
Going to be a much different atmosphere than playing Florida State at home. That's the game I watch because I think they'll be laying like the same type of 10 if they get through that Florida State game. And that's where I would definitely be looking to fade them because I think they would lose in that spot.
Sleepy, we're talking about Clemson here. Can they run the table here, cover or no cover here against NC State coming up? But they got Florida State, Syracuse, and then Wake Forest and South Carolina. Pat says maybe that road game at Syracuse may trick them up. I'm assuming a lot of people are going to be looking at the Florida State game also. What do you think about Clemson's chances? I know you're not as high on them, but what do you think about their chances maybe to run the table? Possible? What game do you think might slip them up?
I thought for sure the Florida State game was going to be the one that they were going to lose and they were going to, you know, probably just end up fizzling away. I thought Florida State had a chance to probably go undefeated, but they had three tough games coming up, obviously, for them. They obviously lost their last one. But, you know, I got to give credit where credit's due. You know, I was wrong with Clemson. I think if they can go ahead and take care of NC State and, you know, get into that game with Florida State, play well, and win, I definitely think that they have a real, real shot to go ahead and run the table. It wouldn't surprise me if Florida State beat them, just because I think Florida State's a pretty good team. But again, I think the hunger for the Clemson Tigers, because that team always comes up short every year. I mean, it's one screwball game that really messes them up. It, just like a team like that with named Syracuse, one of those goofy teams always seems to screw them up. But they're focused this year. I like, you know, obviously Watson pretty good. Again, a team I haven't been high on, but I'm starting to build some respect for them. But I think if they take care of Florida State, they should probably just be able to run through. I think that, you know, they're starting to come together as a team now, you know, offense, defense, and they're going to be tough to slow down. But Florida State's going to be the team I think that will actually be able to beat them. But I don't know if it's going to happen because I think they just have like, too much momentum rolling with that team.
Okay, guys, I was going to close out the show right now, but I just got a question or two about two games via Twitter here. So if you guys don't mind talking about these games, whatever information you get for the listener here. He wants to ask about Michigan, Minnesota, and the Tennessee-Kentucky game. Firstly, if you don't mind, let's go Michigan-Minnesota, game 199. I got
let me
14.
Talk about that one.
Okay, Pat.
I'll talk about that one because I'm going to have a pick on the other one. So as long
okay.
as Sleepy's
Fair
not,
enough.
You know, I don't want to get it mixed up.
My bad.
Michigan, I mean, I got them as about a, let's see here. Yeah, I think the line's a touch high. I got this number around 9. And now it's so hard to know with the, you know, with the variable with Jerry Kill resigning.
Yeah, I didn't know if we should bring that up on the show. It came up now just throughout the show. So, yeah, we can go ahead and talk about it now. I didn't want to bring the show down, but now someone's asking about the game. We got to talk about it somewhat. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a shitty situation, but, you know, it happens. The guy isn't under any, you know, it's a condition you can live with, assuming he doesn't have any complications, which we don't know about. But it's just hard to know, you know, what you're going to get out of Minnesota. I mean, are you going to get the amped up version of the Gophers? I mean, probably. But, you know, I'm not sure what that means because you have Michigan coming off that killer loss against Michigan State, had a whole week to stew over it. They lost to Minnesota last year in the Big House. I don't know, man. I think this could be a beatdown. I don't know how many points Michigan's going to score. That would be my only hesitation. But I just don't see Minnesota scoring. I frankly don't think Minnesota will score in the double digits. So I could see this game like a 21-9 type of game, and Minnesota, you know, barely covers the 14, something like that. So maybe looking at the under is the
gotcha.
Way to go, even though I'm not a totals player.
Yeah, and let me make sure I had you correct, because at first you said the line was high, but you meant that the line may be high, but you still see it as a blowout. It just might not be enough points to get the cover, correct? Did I get that right?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. So,
okay.
You know, the number's 14 and the over-under's 38.
Right.
So, you know, that's pretty crazy right there. That's pretty telling. You know, they're saying, what is that? They're saying it's going to be like, what, 27-13, somewhere around there, 26-12, something like that. So, yeah, you know, I don't see either team getting to those numbers. I don't think Michigan's going to score more than 26, and I really don't think Minnesota's going to score more than 12. So, I mean, if I think that, then I got to think the under is a good play. The only thing that scares me, you know, if you're thinking about laying Michigan, is Minnesota's 2-5 against the spread, while Michigan's 4-3. So Minnesota's due to start covering some games at the very least. And it's a night game, and, you know, they'll have the crowd all amped up for Michigan to be there.
Yeah.
So I think there's definitely a Michigan win. No risk at all of losing this game for Michigan. And I would lean towards Minnesota, and I would lean more towards the under.
All right, maybe for you guys, we don't recommend a lot of teaser plays, but maybe that would be it, or find a good another way to play this game. So let me get your thoughts. I mean, that's actually, Pat, you brought that up. It's something that they're interesting to me, that this is a night game. Michigan going to Minnesota State, 4 o'clock game here on the West Coast, 7 p.m. on the East Coast there. But Michigan will have the fans wrapped up. Sleepy, yes. I mean, tragic death there for the Minnesota crowd. Don't know how that's going to play out. Big number here on Michigan State. Pat's been telling us for a while that defense is damn good. So the question is, how many points are going to be scored here? Obviously, Michigan coming off of a loss previous year to Michigan State, too. That's got to play into it somewhat. Sleepy, your thoughts on this one?
Oh, I think there's two things we could take from that game with, you know, with that situation in general. One, you know, Minnesota's going to go and play their ass off in the game. That's a guarantee. The other guarantee, which I guess you could say would not be a guarantee because of Harbaugh, you know, he could be screwball sometimes. I think you could rule out the fact that he's probably going to try to run up a score, you know, if
they're
comfortably, that was saying, you know, 21-9, somewhere in that area. You know, is he going to continue to go ahead and try to run, and try to, you know, he might, you know, call a 2-yard off. Well, into a, you know, whatever, and as long as they know they got the game won with 7 or 8 minutes left, and it's just one of those type of games, you know, I would land on Minnesota. I'd land on them pretty strong here, due to, you know, like we just talked about, the circumstance. But you know, again, it's Harbaugh. You never know what you're going to get. You know, he could end up throwing the ball and completely pissing off, you know, everybody and looking like a real jerk. But I would probably, you know, think that you can rule out the fact that he'll try to run up the score. And, you know, I don't think that they're going to score a ton of points, but I think Minnesota will probably play a very, very good game, but I think they're going to come up short. So I agree with Pat with pretty much everything he said. I just wanted to throw those two factors in there, but I would land on Minnesota here with that large number.
Man, I like that point about the running of the score part. Very good, interesting point there. That's got to figure into it. I'm sure he'll be thinking about that. Tennessee, Kentucky there, Sleep, man. Last one, Pat has a premium play on this one, man. I like both of these teams here, especially Kentucky. We've been talking about them for a while. Just as a team following them, there's a team that we had talked about in the summer. Now Tennessee, the team that's been in the national news, they're on the front of everybody's mind. The team people were picking to maybe make some noise here, Sleep, laying 9.5, 8.5, depending on where you find it at, Sleep. It jumped, started out about 7, 7.5. So interesting if you have any thoughts on this one, Tennessee going to Kentucky.
Yeah, man, I think the back door is wide open here for a team like Kentucky. But I wouldn't play them because I just don't think they're that great defensively. Obviously, Tennessee on the offensive side of the ball, not that bad. When this line came out, it was, I think it was like it was saying 7-54. I actually like the under. That number's gone up to 56. I still find some value in that. I think that they'll score a decent amount of points here. I think it'll be kind of a back-and-forth type of game. And, again, I think that, you know, maybe going into the fourth quarter, Tennessee potentially, you know, could be covering that number. But something just tells me it's an over and a Kentucky backdoor cover. But I'm not going to go ahead and trust Kentucky to go ahead and cover against a team like Tennessee, who, you know, I think is pretty quality. But I think the stronger wager was at the over, but that was at 54, not 56.
Okay, man, fair enough. Another show comes to an end, man. So I was just listening to what you guys say. I think we have 4 or 5 solid plays based on your information. Again, these guys give out the free information here. Please go check them out, the website, man. Pat's over at sportsboss.com. A lot of good information there. I tweeted out the top 10, Pat. I'm going to tweet out that again and put it on the forums there in pregame. Check out Sleepy on the pros page. Check me out, JRich3000, man, on Twitter. Fellas, damn good show, man. Appreciate you guys taking the time, man. I think we've got a couple of winners. Let's make some money. Talk to you guys next week, huh?
All right, Jared. Be cool, Pat.
Good luck, guys.
Thanks for coming on, man. See you next time. Good luck. Bye-bye. All right, man. Hey, another good show. Appreciate it here. I'm just going to wrap it up. just with a couple of dogs, the guys I heard, man, Pat talked about Pitt earlier. Didn't seem like that was a big play, but Sleepy was kind of surprised that North Carolina was favored so high. That was one that stuck out in my mind. Sleepy was looking at the over in the La Tech Rice game. You know, so was that too high there? He was waiting on a particular number, but the number did crash, so that gave him some hesitance there. But I, again, I like his expertise, so that's a number I'll be looking at there. La Tech Rice, maybe looking at the over if the number continues to crash. We talked about Pat's top 10. We talked about Pat's top 10 earlier. Again, if you missed the show or came in late, this will be available in the podcast version. But Pat gave us Ohio State, TCU, Georgia, Utah, Florida, Notre Dame, LSU, Stanford, Oklahoma, Iowa, Alabama, and then Clemson being number one. A couple of games there. Sleepy talked about the Idaho, New Mexico State. Like the New Mexico, take the best numbers possible. There are some sixes out there, so that's one I'll be jumping on. Utah, looking at Utah, waiting to see if the number does creep down. Take the 24, but hoping that it comes down a little bit. So that one, I won't really grade that out. We're kind of waiting on some things to happen. Upset, he liked the Clemson upset, man, of 10, catching a 10 with North Carolina. North Carolina going to Clemson. Sleepy likes that one. Let's go to Pat. South Florida there. South Florida, he did like the South Florida catching. Looks like there's some 7.5s out there. Catch that. Sleepy agreed with that one. Lastly, Illinois going to Penn State there. We're looking for certain things to happen. So this Ferguson player there, look, this is a contingency play. If he goes, we're looking at Illinois. If he does not go, we're looking at the under. We're looking at Illinois. So that one, maybe, so I'm going to grade that out. We're grading both with the South Florida Navy game for Pat and the Idaho-New Mexico game for Sleepy and the North Carolina State play for Sleepy. There. So another good show, man. We talked about three TV games there also. USC going to Cal. You know, again, this is one where Pat didn't make it a play, but he told us that his numbers made it Cal being favored by -2. That, to me, always interests me personally. So the Pitt and the Cal play might be a personal play for me, just listen to the number. Georgia going to Florida there. Everybody really had that as a toss-up. No strong opinions there. Same with North Carolina, Temple, although Pat's number did make Notre Dame only a 4.5-point play. I believe Sleepy liked Temple a little bit more than Pat did. So that one may be a toss-up there, maybe a lean to Temple for the show. Hey, man, thanks for listening in. Again, I'll be on tomorrow a little bit around, probably around 1 p.m. We'll be going all NHL. We'll be talking about Thursday's NHL board, Thursday NHL board. So catch me for that if you guys want to make some money there. Cash and tickets in the NHL for sure, all the way. Don't have to know the sport to make money in the sport. Again, so if you guys want to catch some plays, again, you guys can always find me in the forums or on Twitter. Another damn good show. Thanks for listening in. I'm Jay Rich. I want to thank Pat Donovan of the Sports Boss for calling in and SleepyJ of pregame.com. Thanks for listening. Catch you guys next time.